Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities, and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul, and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the evening service. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and you will delight in the riches of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen, that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of the briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. This is the word of the Lord.
Yesterday I was sitting for a period near Victoria Station, and I was watching a woman selling bus tickets to tourists. She eyed people up as they walked past, and she was assessing the possibility of engagement from the speed of their walk. You know, some people walk like this, and some people were ambling. She approached people who looked a bit fed up, a bit thirsty, who had grumpy kids, because she saw they might say yes to a distraction and an air-conditioned bus. She connected with them, looking them in the eye and saying, "How are you today? Where are you from?" And when she'd got to know them, she made them the best offer she could, so that not only might they accept, but she would get some commission later on. Now, as we read this passage in Isaiah this evening, we are in effect watching a sales pitch. Isaiah's sales pitch is about following the Lord. He's looking us in the eye, and he's saying, "Are you in?" So we're going to slow down a bit and listen to what he has to say. Let's look at his technique. If you look at the first five verses, we're going to be looking at them first. I don't know what struck you as Michaela was reading, but I think there are lots of imperatives there. He says, "Come, come, listen, hear." "Come," he says several times, doesn't he? come. One translation says, come with your ears wide open. I like that. Don't sort of just hear it in passing, but come and listen with intention. Weigh up and see if what I'm offering might be something you're interested in. Now, Isaiah isn't an average salesman, of course. He's holding out his offer here to those who have no money, who are hungry. In fact, he's issuing an invitation to a banquet. It sounds too good to be true, doesn't it, what he's offering? But there's no catch here. This is a banquet that Isaiah says is on offer for everyone. This is an invitation to come and have your hunger and thirst satisfied. Now, if I were to ask you what you think people are thirsty for in our world today, what would you say? I was thinking about this a bit yesterday as I sat by Victoria Station, and I thought, we're thirsty for answers to deep and painful questions about life, aren't we? Some of the decisions made in Parliament in recent weeks have shown a longing, a thirst for control over issues of life and death, for hope when we feel as if there are no clear-cut answers. We're thirsty for the approval of those looking on. We're thirsty to be seen as those who are living well. We've got a healthy work-life balance. We're thirsty to be the ones that look as if we've got it all sorted on social media. We're thirsty for more money or for better health. We're thirsty for deep relationships. And we're also thirsty for God to be who he says he is. We looked at a psalm a couple of weeks ago, Psalm 63. The psalmist starts this psalm by saying, I thirst for you, God. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. And for us, when everything we'd planned for or put our energies into comes crashing down, or when we don't understand what we're going through, we can feel as if we're in a dry and parched land. We come to a place where we're desperate for God to be the answer. And in fact, Isaiah tells us here that if we look for answers other than in God, they won't satisfy. Look at verse 2. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Isaiah's saying you've been wasting your money because that hasn't brought you satisfaction. You're still thirsty. So how do we spend our money on what isn't bread? Well, maybe we put all our energy into our careers, into our homes, into our holidays. All of these things that we hope will give us what we're craving. And often as we live life trying to satisfy our thirst, we don't even realise that in fact we're stuffing ourselves with fast food instead of eating what will actually bring us health and deep nourishment, because it's food that's been given to us to thrive. Isaiah isn't the only one who issues an invitation to come, of course, in the Bible. Jesus also said, come, if you're struggling. This is how he said it. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And in verse 3, Isaiah says, listen, that you may live. A promise for rest, a promise for life. The offer at this banquet is for food and drink that satisfies. We can be sure of God's blessing because of the promises he's kept in the past. Verse 3 talks of an everlasting covenant that God's made through David. Through David's line came the promised Messiah, Jesus. It was an everlasting covenant. It was not conditional. This is an assurance that God's promises are faithful and sure. And verse 5 tells us that when we respond to the banquet invitation, we're not only being offered the richest of food for ourselves, but we're also being involved in a global invitation by God to everyone to come. The guest list for God's banquet is not complete. All are invited to come. The offer is for the best of food and for lasting satisfaction. And the promise is that those who are far off, all over the world, will come to know the Lord God, the Holy One. An invitation to a banquet, an invitation to the thirsty. So let's look at the next part of Isaiah 55. And I've called this section an abundant pardon. I wonder if you noticed something a bit strange. I asked you to see the verbs, didn't I? Come, listen, hear. But there was one verb I didn't talk about, and it's in verse 1. And it's a bit strange, because verse 1 says, you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. So you may be thinking, hang on a minute, how can I buy if I haven't got any money? That's not a free invitation. There's a cost. Our church has got a line in its vision statement of unconditional welcome. Everyone who comes to this church is welcome, and you don't need to tick any boxes before you come in. Denzel spoke about this morning. Come as you are. This is the teaching of Jesus. But unconditional welcome is not the same as no cost. In fact, Jesus talked about the cost of following him, the cost of discipleship, all the time. And Isaiah says here, you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. It costs to come. Jesus told a tiny one-sentence parable that isn't talked about very much. It's in Matthew 13, and this is what it says. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. That man wanted the treasure. We could say the treasure is the offer to come and drink the water that Isaiah talked about at the beginning of this chapter. But the treasure in the field wasn't free. The man had to sell everything he had to buy it. So in the same way, there's a cost to those who want to come to the banquet. So let's look at verses 6 to 9. Verse 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him whilst he is near. Isaiah has invited us to come, but here his sales pitch changes. There's a sense of urgency now. We don't like to talk about death. It makes us uncomfortable. But the fact is that we don't know when our time on earth will end. And Isaiah warns that we must not miss the opportunity to take hold of God's mercy. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. And then with that urgency, he goes on in verse 7, let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them, and to our God and he will freely pardon. This is the cost here in verse 7. To respond to the free invitation, there's a lifestyle change that's needed. But here's the thing. These verses happen because of the verses that come next, verses 8 and 9. We often quote verses 8 and 9 out of context, particularly when God's been hard to understand. We'll say, oh, God's thoughts are not our thoughts, God's ways are not our ways. But actually, here, the verses flow on from verses 6 and 7. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. For, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. In other words, we've come to a point of recognizing that God is far greater and far more powerful than we are. If we want to follow him, we need to let him be in charge. We need to give up who we are. So does this mean that we're to become automatons controlled by God whilst we lose everything? Not at all. There is freedom in finding Jesus. But the freedom starts with recognising the foolishness and futility of our own thoughts and our own ways. We forsake them. We give them up. We've found the one whose ways are so much greater. And it's a costly thing to do this, because we live in an age of being true to yourself, when saying no to our own thinking, to our own individuality, is a radical thing to do. We were talking about this in Alpha this week, and we were saying that actually you can't be half in. It doesn't work. God wants everything. And when we turn away from our former way of life, when we forsake our wicked ways, we turn towards something else. The second part of verse 7 says, "Turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy to our God, for he will freely pardon." So what Isaiah is describing here is repentance. We give up our wickedness because we see the one who is so much better. We turn away and we turn towards God. We leave behind our own attitudes, behaviours, and submit to God's. This repentance lies at the heart of our faith. In fact, to RSVP to the invitation to the banquet, we need to start here in order to buy the offer. To buy the offer we accept, we need God's mercy and his abundant pardon, and we give our lives to him. Amen. Please do sit down, and let's look at our final section of Isaiah, starting at verse 10. We've looked at the invitation to the banquet. We've looked at the RSVP. Now let's look at what we can be sure of if we accept this offer. The last few verses are full of beautiful promise and beautiful pictures. Firstly, verses 10 to 11. Let's read them. "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, good things. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." There's a certainty in knowing what follows a long period of rain, isn't there? The ground gets wet and it starts to yield a crop. In the same way, Isaiah shows us that when the word of God is taught and taken hold of with faith, it bears a crop. There's great reassurance here. The pressure is not on us to produce the crop. That's a reassurance for us who teach and preach, but it's also a reassurance for us as believers. God's word does its work. Our role is to read it and take it on board. We read it and trust it, and it does not return empty. And secondly, as well as reassurance, it's because God's word is certain. Remember in verse 2, Isaiah said, "Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy?" He's saying, why spend money on what isn't a certainty? Why fall for a scam? I wonder if you've tested the Bible out for yourself. There are many people now who are starting to read the Bible. In fact, I've spoken about him before, but there is someone in my Crosslands tutor group who basically found a Bible, started to read it, just carried on reading, and then just became a Christian because of reading it. And there are other people in the Alpha course who have been doing the same thing. Does the Bible really do what it says it's going to do? Does it satisfy? Yes, we believe it does. It's hard to read the Bible without help, though. Not impossible, but hard. And we'd love to help you find out where to start. So come and talk to me or to one of the team if you would like someone to begin reading the Bible with you. You can join up to our YouVersion Bible app. come and speak to Sam about how to find our church on that. You can come and join our Bible Cafe in September, where we'll be reading John's Gospel together and reading about Jesus. Or keep coming to church. You will hear God's word taught week by week and grow in your understanding. Or ask those who've been Christians longer to share with you, as Alison has done this evening, how God's word held her strong, her and the family, when life was so difficult. And finally, verses 12 and 13. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. If that has brought a song to your mind, I've got good news for you in a minute. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the fields will clap their hands. What a beautiful picture. The Bible has full of these amazing images of what happens to creation when God is in his rightful place. We see it at the very beginning when God looked at the world he created and said, "It is good." We see it at the very end, the beautiful descriptions of Revelation 22. Stu's nodded towards those. There's a new world that will replace everything that's broken in this world we're in. And we catch a glimpse of it here in Isaiah. Creation responds in joy as we take hold of this invitation. The thorns and the thistles that were a result of the curse in Genesis 3 are replaced by juniper and myrtle. I don't know much about those. You can ask Wendy Riches about them. But they're trees that symbolically represent blessing and flourishing for God's people. Blessing and flourishing. This is what comes when we take hold of the invitation. Isaiah 55 is a picture of the gospel, the good news. The invitation is for all to come. The pardon is abundant because of Jesus' once for all covering sacrifice. The blessing is assured because the one who promises it is faithful. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.